You are now on air.
Audio Month, day number 23. The audio date is 11.23.2019. Current time is 05:13 a.m. Eastern Time here in upstate New York, the southern tier of upstate New York where I live and reside. Hello for this day number 23 of the Audio Month Challenge here in November 2019. The original audio challenge, Napod Pomo. And this is Rich Roberts at Fireman Rich here on the Anchor as well as over there on Twitter. And getting my morning started this morning. We got Max back on the... We've been up a little bit early. We've been up for over an hour now. We've been up for an hour piddling. That's because I went to bed early last night. I had a long day yesterday. Very good day, though. Talked just a smidgen about it as far as that goes. And but currently here... but we do have Max here. Max is out on the doggy pillow right behind me here in the studio, which is the corner of the dining room, folks. It's nothing elaborate, but I call it the studio when I'm talking into this high-end mic as far as it's the best I got, I guess. But anyway, I'm having fun. And also, I do have the morning coffee. Just finished first cup of the day, first sip of the day there. Got it. We have it on an automatic timer, so it kicks off right about 5 o'clock, so... And I could start it earlier, but 5 o'clock's a good time. But currently here in the southern tier of upstate New York, it's a cold, crisp 21 degrees Fahrenheit. And we're just out there, Max and I. Max doing his doggy thing there. And the sky, you can see the stars. And there's a crescent moon rising in the east. Actually... before I get to the sunrise, I guess the moon started rising at 3:15 this morning. So that's a couple hours ago. It's about 2 hours ago because it's 5:15 right now. But it's waning crescent, 11% visible. It's a crescent moon there. Pretty neat because you can still see the outline of the rest of the moon there in the dark. That's pretty cool. And then also when I was out there in the northeast skies off to the left there from the moon rising in the east, I could see the Big Dipper clear as a bell. And I think later in the winter I'll switch over to the southwest and stuff. I think that's how it goes because I'm sort of getting used to seeing it over there. It's pointing there to the North Star. And then looking to the southwest, I see Orion's Belt. I like looking for Orion's Belt. It's always been... I used to call that the three stars the belt. I used to call it the Three Sisters. Now, up in Niagara Falls, there's three islands they call the Three Sister Islands. So, but the Orion's Belt is marching across the southwestern sky. And I love looking at the stars as far as that go. But yesterday, and I just had a conversation with an individual, and the conversation couldn't have took place if it wasn't for some technology. And this technology was a smartphone that the gentleman had. The gentleman from San Antonio, he lives down in San Antonio, and he is from Cuba. Does not speak very good English. So, he has a translator, the Google translator, on his phone. And we, for a little bit there, we had a conversation going that was very interesting. Can't go into details, can't tell you about the situation, but while I was talking to him, I'm just looking at this, because I've used Google Trans, Google translation on the web page here, as far as if I can't understand, just dump it in there. It's pretty neat technology and stuff. But this gentleman was using it, and it was a very fluid conversation. I was just surprised as far as we were understanding, breaking that barrier gap because of this technology. And it sort of reminded me in several Star Trek series, and even I think they have a version of it, Star Wars, a translator, the intergalactic translator or something like that. I'm like, wow, this is cool. And the gentleman, I think he was having a very good conversation, and very interesting thing. So it's just one of those. I think it's going to be a memory that's going to stick with me, because I've been around the world. I've been fortunate when I was in the Air Force to travel around the world, and if I would have had this type of technology back in the day, it would have been a lot more funner, I think. But it was fun trying to learn the languages, various, you know, Italian and Spanish was mostly when I was in the service, and then over in the Philippines was it Tagalog, and then there's no way I could pick up Japanese, because it's too quick of a speaking language to try and even understand it. But the technologies we wouldn't have without space travel, I'm thinking about this morning, because I'm looking at the stars, and I'm thinking about that conversation I had with the gentleman yesterday, that it was a very interesting conversation. And he's heading back there to San Antonio, I guess today and tomorrow and stuff. So it's just very, very interesting, and wished him safe travels and stuff like that. And it just, but the crutch of it, like I said, not going into details there, the main thing that bridged us was that technology. So this morning I'm thinking about what kind of technologies could we live without. We wouldn't be able to live without. And the title I have is here, I'm looking at it now, Technologies We Wouldn't Have Without Space Travel. And the first thing that always comes to mind is Velcro. We wouldn't have Velcro if it wasn't for the Apollo space missions, because I think they developed Velcro. I tried doing some research this morning, but I came up with something else as far as was it 20 things we wouldn't have without space travel from the JPL webpage, Jet Propulsion Laboratory of NASA. And the first one going down the list would be camera phones. They made camera phones. The cameras that are in the camera phones are really small. And that technology initially started by NASA and probably Russia too, as far as one-third of all cameras contain this technology, as far as that goes. Scratch-resistant lens. The Lewis Research Center attempted to develop a diamond-hard coating for aerospace systems, later created a technique that was developed and patented for just that purpose. For that came out of the space traveling. CAT scans. A space program needs a pretty good digital imager. The JPL played a leading role in developing the technology, which in turn helped create CAT scans, the machines that keep us healthy. Here's a good one. LEDs. Red LEDs are being used in space to grow plants and heal humans on Earth. LED technology used by NASA has contributed to the development of medical devices such as the Warp 10. I'll have to look up Warp 10. Also, landmine removal. There's vehicle propulsions use NASA's surplus rocket fuel to produce a flare that can safely destroy landmines. It works by burning a hole through the landmine without detonation. And then we have athletic shoes. That's going to be the rubbers. Foil blankets. These foil blankets you see at a lot of marathon races after they're done, and when it's colder, these metallic sheets that keep us warm. Water purification systems is another one. In 1960, NASA created an electrolyte silver ionized to purify astronauts' drinking water. This technology is now widely used to kill bacteria in recreational pools. Now here's one, the Dustbuster. NASA approached Black & Decker, developed a lightweight device to collect samples on the moon. This company then used the technology to create the Dustbuster in 1979. And I remember having, when I bought a car I bought in the early 80s, it was a Pontiac Firebird. And I ended up getting a Dustbuster from Black & Decker. That's pretty neat. Moving down the list, we got the ear thermometer was a technology there. Home installation. The Jaws of Life, which I have used in real time when I was a firefighter. An extraction tool to free people from mangled vehicles. And believe me, it does the job, folks. First-hand knowledge on that as far as using that piece of equipment. The Jaws of Life supplies a miniature version of an explosive charge used to separate devices on the space shuttle. So it has a great amount of force. Here's one, wireless headphones. NASA, being one of the forerunners for advanced communication technology, developed these headsets to allow astronauts to be hands-free without wiring. And then we got memory foam, freeze-dried food, adjustable smoke detectors, another one that's fire prevention, fire safety related. While NASA didn't actually invent the first smoke detector, it did come up with a more modern version of the invention, creating the most sophisticated alarm system ever invented. Baby formula. Infant formulas now contain a nutrition-enriched ingredient, the origins of which can be traced back to NASA-sponsored research that explored the use of algae for long-duration space travel. Artificial limbs, computer mouses, and the last one on the list, portable computers. The SPOC was created to adjust the grid compass, the first portable laptop. In its creation, hardware had to be modified and new software developed, which propelled the commercial market of the portable computer. So there we have it. They didn't say laptop, it was portable computer, so probably a smaller version, because I know when they were doing the what's that movie? Numbers. If you ever see the movie Numbers, it's about the African American women that worked for NASA that were very, very highly intelligent on doing math calculations, and they could actually do it before one of the engineers could figure it out on a slide ruler. The first computers they showed were they had to tear down walls to bring them into the room. So the compact computers and your compact cameras throughout the space, that's technology, folks, that was developed and we wouldn't have if it wasn't for space travel. So there you have it. And it all goes back, boiling back to that conversation I had with this gentleman who lives down in San Antonio, who's from Cuba, and it was a translator on his iPhone. I don't think it was a newer iPhone. I think it looked like it was probably an iPhone 8 or iPhone 10. It was a newer iPhone because it worked very well, and I was just surprised. And sometimes we take these technologies for granted that they're just there. I can honestly say, I can remember when there was no internet. I can remember watching Star Trek when they had the James T. Kirk flipped out his communicator. And that was, I'm going, wow. I still go, wow, thinking about that. Because you remember the first cell phones, they were flip phones. My grandfather used to always say, and probably some other people say, today's science fiction is tomorrow's reality and stuff like that. So it's just very, very amazing as far as that goes. So with that, we're going to go ahead and exit stage left here, folks. Good start to the day. We got somebody. Somebody is on Periscope. And we might have to check that out here. And it looks like it's Mr. Paul Amani. So I'm going to go ahead and end this audio here for day 23. You all have a great one today. Live life. Have fun. Ciao for now. And as always, peace.